Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
At Dossett, Big Four, and Tupelo, we do things differently. We believe in honest, fair prices and treating our customers like family. Whether you're looking for a new or used GMC or Buick, we've got you covered. Come on down to Dossett Big Four, where you'll get a great deal without the hassle. That's Dossett Big Four in Tupelo.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Gums.
Would be a little weird. There was a dentist there.
I hope there's a dentist there. And I hope he helps people get over the disease gingivitis. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Order it to be shipped right to your door. Whatever the drip coffees they have there at Strange Brew, they've got them on the website. You can have them each and every morning. They also have the K-Cups. Don't forget about those. If you are a Keurig owner, they can get you Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. And we've got a new location coming soon, evidently. But it's shrouded in secrecy. Once my sources reveal to me where that is, though, you will be the first to know, I promise. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Simply put, if you are a business owner and you are a Mississippi State fan, Pip Printing and Signs has literally got the Godfather offer out there to you. You cannot refuse. You simply have to give your business to Pip Printing and Signs. That's a great deal anyway, right? Because you get a company that's been doing this for 30 years that knows how to get people through the front door of your business. But they're going to turn around and take 10% of your sale and give it right to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. So you can support Mississippi State Athletics the most important way you can without spending an extra dime of your own money. You're already spending money on printing. Send your money to Pitt Printing and Signs. Tell them you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. Call Camden Baker at 601-499-5216 or visit them online, pipridgeland.com. You can find out a lot more about the services they offer. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you are looking for it right now. You need to get some new gear. It's a new era at Mississippi State. You need to look the part with the state script, the interlocking, the M over S, new polos, new T-shirts, new hats, new gear for your house. You know, if you got that big banner M flag outside your house, it's time to replace it with a state script flag. If you've got a banner M tag on your car, it's time to replace that with a state script tag. That's the way to go. You need to do it now. College Corner, two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant, the place to find the best meal in town for lunch, for dinner, or for Sunday brunch. Graduation's coming up. It just finished at Mississippi State. It's this week, or it's next weekend at Starkville High School. If you're going to take your grad out to a special dinner, the place to do it is at Restaurant Tyler. Make a special occasion even more special with a meal at Restaurant Tyler. For dinner, it's just some of the best meals you can have, not only in the city of Starkville, but in the state of Mississippi. Great steaks, chicken, pasta, fantastic desserts. And look, if you're going to go and celebrate, they have a tremendous cocktail list, wine list, a lot of great stuff for you there. Check them out, Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Go to PriorityOneBank.com. Find the location nearest you and open an account today that will serve you and your family for years to come. They aren't just a small-town bank that's just offering checking and savings accounts. They can do a lot with your money. They can help your financial portfolio, and they're going to offer you great service while doing that. That's something you can't normally get at the big corporate banks. I like talking to people that I know. I like dealing with my people in my community. And if we're talking about my money in the bank, I definitely want to be able to know it's just a phone call away if I have a question. That's the difference that Priority One Bank gives you. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. It is Rumblings Day here on the podcast. And, of course, the Rumblings are brought to you by our good friends over at Superior Catfish. If you haven't already, check out the Superior Catfish Facebook page. They have a lot of great recipes. Everybody loves fried catfish. I mean, I love fried catfish. But if you're looking for other ways to cook catfish, and we have a Rumblings question about that a little later, Robbie, about somebody asking you what other ways to do it are there, the Superior Catfish Facebook page has some great, great recipes there for you, along with other cool information about Superior Catfish. And, of course, they are the sponsors of the second annual Thunder and Lightning Catfish Tour heading your way this summer. Please send us your favorite catfish restaurants. They sell Superior Catfish. We would love to be there and come see you guys this summer. So I want to thank Superior Catfish again for sponsoring the Rumblings and, of course, for providing the best catfish out there. There's catfish, and then there's Superior Catfish. Let's just jump right in here, Robbie. First question of the game here. It is a game, too, by the way.
This is a game for us.
Yes. Perhaps the first time ever. Our first question is for Mississippi State men's tennis from Ian Howe, who asked, the men's tennis team has made the Sweet 16 three of the last NCAA tournaments and is one of the best programs in the country each year. What do y'all think they would have to do to get some campus-wide recognition or coverage from the media? Win it? Obviously, if they won a national title, there would be some coverage. But tennis is just one of those sports, Robbie. That's just, as soon as it's over, everybody's like, all right, back to baseball. It's just the way it is.
Don't overlook the fact that this guy's name is DeBossed Fan Page.
I did not overlook that. I saw that. Yes.
Just want to draw attention to that.
Yeah.
That is not my burner, promise.
Were you a big DeBoss guy?
I love DeBoss.
His first 1, 2, 3, he's obviously a huge tennis
fan. He's a big tennis fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And DeBoss.
It's just, here's the thing. I'll speak on all our perspective and kind of where we're coming from. We cover stuff. There's like a hierarchy in like sports coverage.
Yeah.
I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on what's going to sell. What are we covering that's going to sell? And that includes our podcast too. What is the majority of the people listening to our podcast going to want to hear? And there's going to be some people out there that say, well, why do y'all talk about wrestling then? Okay, haha, whatever. Every now and then we'll drop that in there. But the sports that we prioritize, that we talk about the most, are football, baseball, men's basketball, and women's basketball, probably in that order. I would say baseball and men's basketball are fairly close, but football is what we talk about the most, then baseball, men's basketball, women's basketball. And that's basically how most people cover. There's some people, they prioritize certain sports that they enjoy, which is fine. I mean, there's a lot of people on the beat that they would rather cover more baseball than they do basketball, or softball than they do baseball, whatever. And that's fine. But the numbers bear out that baseball is going to sell over softball. And, you know, basketball in the middle of the season where it is, you know, in the SEC season, probably going to be ahead of non-conference baseball, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just tough for us to go spend a lot of time on tennis in the middle of the, like, biggest stretch of baseball season. Now, some of us have multiple people covering for our beats or for our networks or papers or whatever. Like, you know, when I'm at Starkville Daily, Danny P can go cover softball or tennis while I'll cover baseball. Mm-hmm. We can't do that at on three, really, because it's just Paul and I. And Paul kind of covers men's basketball and football, and that's pretty much the only team sports he covers. So, yeah, that's a long way around that answer, I guess.
Right. Dalton Lee. Here we go. My wife and I are planning a trip to D.C. this summer. She's never been to D.C. before, and I haven't been since I was 12. What are some must-see recommendations as adults if y'all have been recently? Anything that you didn't see that you wanted to? Dalton, not only have I not been recently, I've never been to Washington, D.C. Have you?
Yeah, I've been twice.
All right. Do you have some recommendations?
It's great. I haven't been since 2009, mm-hmm. I think. No, it was December 08. That was the last time I was there.
In January of 21 on the 6th.
No, that was – I was not in that grouping, I promise you.
I'm pretty sure you and Zach Arnett were both there.
I didn't say anything about Zach Arnett. Just for the record, that was Brian that said that. And no, I was not there.
Now. I can say whatever I want.
Yeah, I guess so. No, DC's cool. I don't know what it's like now. I haven't been in a while, but you know, obviously all the cliche places in DC you need to go visit, even if it's cliche. You need to go to the Lincoln Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial, World War II Memorial, like all that Korean, all that stuff is really cool to see in person. The things that you've seen on movies like Forrest Gump and stuff over the years, it's just really cool to go see that in person. And then the museums are outstanding, Smithsonian, all that stuff is really cool. Trying to think. Oh, you got to go see George Washington's estate, obviously Mount Vernon. Right, you walk out on his front porch and you are literally on the Potomac River, and it's so cool. Like, all I can think about is sitting on that porch in like the 1700s, 1800s, and just sitting there rocking on a rocking chair and watching the river. You know, I mean, it's just like, it's really cool. And they're actually buried there. He and his wife are buried there. So that's a really cool visit. And that's technically, I think, in Virginia, but mm-hmm. it's all right there. Okay. Arlington Cemetery is a must. You can go to Robert E. Lee's house. The cemetery was created during the Civil War. Basically, the Union soldiers started burying. They like took over the place there. They started burying their soldiers, I think, on that land, and it just became this like huge like national cemetery over time. And it overlooks the city, or the Washington D.C. overlooks it. It's a really nice view of the entire city. Of course, you have the Eternal Flame there with JFK. Just a really cool place. There's so much history in Washington, D.C., and it's a must visit.
All right. Stevie Franks asked, build your perfect five-tool baseball player using former or current MSU Bulldogs. Well, can I just use Hunter Renfrow?
I was thinking the exact same thing.
And wouldn't that just be the easiest way to do it?
I don't think that's what Stevie was going for.
All right.
But, yeah, that would probably be the guy that I picked. By the way, I would love to see Hunter Renfrow in this era of baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm thinking a Charlie Condon-type run for him. His batting average would probably be lower.
Mm-hmm.
But Hunter Renfrow during this time frame, like with the bat and the ball being what it is, would at least hit 25 home runs, I think.
That feels low, to be honest with you. It feels a little low. All right, so for hitting, yeah, I'm not going to go with the obvious guy. I'm not going to do it.
I'm going to go with Adam Frazier if you're not going to do that.
I was going to go Jeff Ray.
Okay, well, I would go Adam Frazier because he actually led the country in hits.
Fine choice. Both good choices.
All right. That run he had in 2013 in the postseason was just unbelievable.
Huh?
It felt like every time he came to the plate, he had a hit.
Who do you have for power?
I mean, you can go Renfrow. You could go Will Clark. Brent Rooker.
Top guy. I'm going to go Palmeiro.
You did Palmeiro?
Yeah. All right.
I mean, shoot, you could put Palmeiro for hitting.
Yeah. You could.
3,000 hits.
Yeah. For running, for speed.
Trying to think who is the fastest guy we've seen.
Jacob Robson.
Robson's up there.
That's my guy.
At first to home on the failed pickoff against Ole Miss was crazy.
He also hit an inside the park grand slam. That is something that does not happen very often.
He did.
So Robson will be a good choice there. Then fielding. Just always made good plays out there.
Brett Pirtle was really good.
That's a good choice. That's an underrated choice right there.
It kind of depends on what position you're going for there. You know, you could have Tommy Raffo was a really good first baseman.
He was.
I thought Wes Ray was a really good first baseman.
Was.
Pirtle was great at second. Adam Frazier was really good at short. Matthew Maniscalco was good at short.
Mm-hmm.
This is all like before, like during my time. So I can't really speak on a lot of the people before that.
Yeah.
You know, obviously Mangum was really good in center.
Yeah, Mangum might be my choice here.
Yeah.
So, and then throwing, I'm going to make it easy and just go to Hunter Renfrow. He has the best arm of any outfielder I've ever seen at Mississippi State.
The amount of outfield assists he had in 2013 was nuts.
Quite a few. All right, Monroe Walker, does the sloppiness of a sandwich enhance the experience? Like with Sloppy Joe's, barbecue with slaw, chili slaw burgers, chili slaw dogs, roast beef and gravy po' boys. It can. You got to be, it's a fine line though, right? You don't want a sandwich that's just falling apart. It's got to have some integrity. It's got to have some structural integrity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you know, having that feeling of the sandwich is like it's on the verge of falling apart. It's got the, you know, that to it. Yeah, that's great. Nothing wrong with that at all.
I got some Sloppy Joes for you.
I
know how your kids like them sloppy.
Lady Ascarens.
Our friend
Tom. Hamburgers, Ryan. Like messy hamburgers, are mm-hmm. way better than the ones that come out clean.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a Wendy's hamburger that's just got mustard, ketchup, and mayonnaise just like falling out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So good. There's got to be that, like, there's got to be, like, it feels like it's dry if you don't have, and like, a massive amount of condiments on it. So I think there's something to that. And then barbecue sandwiches, they always got to be sloppy.
And cheese goes a long way on a burger, right? You got to have nice, perfectly melted cheese. That adds to the gooiness of it.
Yeah, I'm not a huge cheeseburger fan, but I'll eat it. I mean, I'm not like you. I'm not going into the kitchen and telling them what I want on my hamburger at the concession stands.
Damn right. I'm not technically paying for it, but still.
No, you're not paying for it at all.
If I was paying for it, it would be no different. Somebody paid for it. Somebody paid for it. All right. Our friend Tyler Brain, what's the proper dude to Ben ratio for this weekend? I think we're gonna go. We're gonna go 4-3 is the ratio. I think you got time to get in there early on. Because if you're gonna be here Thursday night, right? So you go after the game on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
then you go Friday before the game, head on over to the game, and then come back after. And then Saturday, a little earlier start to the game, so you just go after the game. 4-3 is the ratio.
4-3, like, what does that mean? There's going to be
4 trips to the Ben, 3 trips to Diddy Noble.
Oh, is that what the question is? How many times you go to the dude as opposed to going to the Ben?
Well, that's what it says, dude to Ben ratio, yeah.
Well, I mean, that could mean how many more people will be at the dude than at the Ben?
Oh, no, that's not what it means. He's asking how many times should he go to both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 4-3 is all right.
Then why not?
Don Hooper asks, so we are saying we are surprised at where MSU baseball is at this point in the season, but we are also disappointed at where they are. So which is true? Are we overachieving or underachieving? Don has fallen into the classic trap, Robbie, that he forgets. Sometimes two things can be true at the same time.
There's no nuance in these arguments.
Yeah. It's both. They are better than we thought they'd be, but they're not as good as they could be.
I think we too often when it comes to like these arguments, people like take what other people say before it's like you always say, like when you're presented with new evidence or whatever, before we've actually seen the teams play. Like people take that and hold people accountable for that without us like having any evidence beforehand that would suggest, you know, we should be like chastised for it, you know?
Right.
And then when it happens, when we are presented with the new evidence, like you always say, we're allowed to say that, yes, they are better and they have exceeded expectations, but they're also not reaching their full potential, because we've seen now they have the potential to do these things. For the last 2 years, Mississippi State has not shown any potential to do something like this. Well, now they have. And now that we know what they are and we know that they're capable of doing such things, and we know that in many cases, a lot of these SEC teams are not as good as we thought they would be, it's really disappointing in some ways, but also at the same time, like, you can say this team is noticeably better.
Yeah.
But I think it's okay to say, to have a little nuance in there and say, yeah, they could be better than what they are right now.
Right.
It doesn't have to be so cut and dry, so black and white.
Agreed. Robbie, before I ask this next question, I need your thoughts on a dad joke I told today. You ready?
Okay.
So I went to the doctor today, and they took a little blood, and the nurse was like, "Which arm do they have an arm they usually use?" And I was like, "It's normally one of these two."
Oh, I would be annoyed.
Annoyed? That's a funny joke. Come on.
If I was a nurse and I've been dealing with people all morning.
See, I got it. That's the thing. I was the first appointment. I was there 8 a.m.
Well, see, now you're dealing with somebody that they're there early. You know, they're still morning time. They're just not quite ready.
Nah, she laughed.
They might have a little bit of coffee in them.
Yeah.
Did she laugh?
She laughed.
Okay.
Okay.
That's okay.
All right, then. All right, then. Caleb Goddard says, we're given $100 to spend on the final meal of your life, and you can go to any place of your choosing, but you have to spend all the money at that place. Where are you going and what are you getting? I already know my answer. Go ahead.
I mean, I'm getting a steak. It's just a matter of, you know, where I'm going to get this. Is it going to be a place where the steak is like $75? And
you can't get any sides. You can't get anything else, you know?
Like, the sides are going to be probably like $12 each at a nice steakhouse. So I'm probably going to skip out on going to like a really nice steakhouse if I only have $100 to spend. Like, I think I'm going to go to like a regular restaurant that's got a really good steak.
Okay.
So, I mean, I hate to limit it just to like places that I know, like right here, but I mean, like an Anthony's or something where I can get a good steak, get some good size. I don't know. What would be yours?
You got to think here, right? It's my last meal ever. So I want to eat as much as I can, and I want to eat as many different things as I can, right? The Wynn Buffet at the Wynn Resort in Las Vegas is $59.99 plus tax. I'll just get a couple of cocktails to cover up the rest of the $100. Done.
That's it.
They got prime rib out there so I can have the steak. They got seafood. They got all sorts of stuff. I've eaten at that buffet. It's incredible. That's where we're going. We're going to eat at one of the big, a luxurious casino buffets. And I'm going to stay there as long as I can. It's my last meal. Actually, I looked it up. It's $74.99 plus tax. So it's going to be about like $83, $84. Just let them keep the rest of the tip. I'm good.
Inflation, man.
It's rough. But, I mean, I've been to that buffet. You can easily get your money back, all right? I mean, there's not going to be a crab leg left when I get done there. It's going to be, the ocean called. They're running out of shrimp.
Sir, we're going to need you to leave.
You ever seen that?
You've put us out of business.
You know what I'm talking about? He's talked about the Chinese buffet.
What?
He's like, this dude weighs like 300 plus pounds. And he's like, they kicked me out of the Chinese buffet. They come over there like, you've been here 4 hours. Why are you here 4 hours? You go now. That would be me at the Wynn buffet. So that's my.
Oh, yeah. I've said forever that my death row meal is the catfish perdu at the Chimes.
Oh, I can get you $100 at the Chimes, no problem. We can next time State loses to LSU, we will eat our feelings at the Chimes.
I'm like, that meal is probably, I don't know, $25. Like, I don't know what I would do. I guess if I'm about to die, I would probably just drink as much as possible. So whenever I'm about to die, I don't feel it. I don't know.
Let's see here. I got a picture of the Chimes menu right here. Can I see how much it is?
I usually get a salad with that too. Makes me feel better about myself.
Here we go. Chimes menu. What are we doing here with our life? Of course it doesn't work. Whatever. You're probably right.
I'm going to say it's probably like $30.
Yeah, tops. Yeah. So, all right.
So, I would just like, sorry, Mom, but I would probably just get really drunk. It's my last meal. I mean, I'm about to die anyways.
Yeah. What is going on here? All right. All right, next question. If I can get my mentions back up and running here. Technical difficulties have beset us here today on Thunder and Lightning, but that's okay.
Yeah, nobody knows, but we had to stop for 10 minutes because my internet went out.
Exactly. It happens.
But now you know.
That happens more often than the listening audience is aware of.
I don't want to lie to our loyal listeners out there.
No, we shouldn't either. All right, back to it here. Cameron Worm, if you could go... Big Worm? If you could take a time machine back to any state athletic event and provide information to change the outcome, where or when would you go? So, there's several options here. I feel like the number one option should be the 2014 game against Alabama.
Yeah. Blake Sims is going to scramble on this third down. Boniquez Brown, somebody spy him and get him before he gets the chains.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to think of, what's the information that I have here?
Can Matt Wells just follow Blake Sims when he's scrambled?
Yeah. Or that egg ball, just be like, if Matt Wells, if you could just go with Evan Engram, wherever he goes, we'll be okay.
Yeah.
That might be one. I think we could go back. Could we go back to the national championship game, Mississippi State versus Notre Dame? And just be like, whatever you do, don't let her shoot.
That or, Tierra McCowan, on this possession, you're going to have a wide open shot under the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Please make it.
Just make the shot.
Yeah. Or put your foot on the gas, because the minute you guys start loafing around, they're going to make a comeback.
Yeah. There we go. All right, next question to us from Ford Polk, who asks, rank these supernatural wrestling factions, the Brood, the Wyatt family, the Ministry of Darkness, or the Wyatt family? Well, I think you're trying to tell us something there. First off...
Are there two Wyatt families?
No, there aren't.
Okay.
So, first off, we're not going to include the Dungeon of Doom here in this. I mean, they were the first.
With the Taskmaster.
They were the first and the best, weren't they? With Sharkman and Zodiac. The Ministry.
Who was wasn't there a guy that was not Kevin Sullivan, but.
There's a guy above him, yeah.
Who was it?
Abageddon or something.
They lived in a cave or something.
Yeah, I think he looked like a Big Van Vader, but it wasn't him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you're talking about it.
That was such a weird time in wrestling, man. The early 90s.
Yeah, they were trying to convince you that it was real, but also that Kevin Sullivan was a Satanist and had supernatural powers.
And RoboCop was real, yes. And the Yeti.
And they threw the giant, as we discussed last week, they threw the giant off the top of an arena, and then he came back with no damage.
Yeah, somehow, you go back and you're like, man, WWF was really realistic back then when they had the plumber, T.L. Hopper, and the dumpster, Duke the Dumpster, Drozzy, and Bastion Booger.
The Goon.
The Goon.
Don't forget the Mountie.
Yes.
Yes. All right. It's frowned upon for anyone other than you two to answer Rubbling's question.
Wait, who do we rank? How do we rank?
Oh, the Ministry of Darkness was number one, right?
Hanging Stone Cold on a cross.
Plus, the Ministry of Darkness kind of absorbed the Brood. So they became...
Yeah, they did.
That's two. It's, yeah. So, yeah.
The Wyatt family was ahead of the Brood anyway. But
yeah.
The great thing about the Brood, though, was the theme.
The theme,
when they come out of the ground to like the...
The entrance was incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Coolest theme during that time frame.
It's frowned upon for anyone other than you two to answer Rumbling's questions. Even if we lock out questions, some people's egos still feel the need to DM and answer the questions anyway. Should we dox them? Holy crap.
People are DMing?
People are DMing you and answering these questions?
You people are psychos. You've got to dox them.
You got to block these people out of your life.
You people are psychos. You can't handle
how crazy us answering these questions? I need to know who these people are. Yes,
tell us for
I got to know.
Out them.
Can you please say nothing beats the sizzle like beef on the grizzle for the Mississippi Beef Council ad? I'll consider it. That feels like Dusty Rhodes would say that, though, doesn't it?
Yes.
All right. So you remind me when we get there. Well, hey, let's just do it now. Let's just do it now while I'm thinking about it. So,
I introduced Becky to the Iron Claw last night.
Oh, did she cry?
No, but
women are heartless. I cry.
Even she was like, wow, that guy's a terrible actor when the Ric Flair guy came out.
So bad.
Like, I don't understand how you can make a movie like that, which I thought was really great.
Mm-hmm.
And Harley Race was fantastic. The guy that played him, I thought was really good. He had the voice down. I thought the actors that were the Von Erichs were pretty good too. The most iconic guy in the entire movie that everybody knows is Ric Flair. And they picked a terrible person to play him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think the guy's a terrible person. I don't know him, but it was just a bad fit. And like my wife is even like, that guy's not very good.
I don't know.
It made me mad again.
There you go. All right. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. This weekend, if you're cooking out, as the American dream Dusty Rhodes likes to say, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grizzle, daddy. So, this weekend, any weekend, I'm cooking steaks this weekend. I'll just go ahead and tell you, I had to push Mother's Day back a weekend, but I was told it's steak dinner time. Well, that's what daddy's going to have to cook then, I guess. So dad will put some steaks on the grill and everybody's going to be happier as a result of it. It can be that way in your house too. Just remember the magic words, beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food. I got to be honest with you, Tyler Brain, if you're still listening, you need to add a Two Brothers ratio in there as well. I mean, at least one, maybe one and a half. I'm just saying, duck in there and get something to eat. It's perfect for a growing boy just like yourself. I hope this weekend, it's the last home baseball weekend, maybe. Might have one more. Might have two more. You never know. But just in case, make sure you've got a trip to Two Brothers on the agenda. You don't want to have to go. You don't want to miss Two Brothers and then state not host. And then you don't get to eat at Two Brothers again until September. You don't want that. So make sure it happens this weekend. Head to Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products and great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 49 years. 49 years of taking care of their customers. 49 years of providing great products for businesses just like yours. 49 years of being a company you can trust and that you can rely on for service after the sale. 49 years, guys. That's a long time. So what you need to do is simple. You need to go to Advantage Business Systems the next time you've got to replace a copier, a printer, any laptops or computers in your office, in your business. They'll take care of it, and then they'll take care of you after the sale. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. This weekend, any weekend you're at Starkville, before you head to the stadium, you head to Maroon & Co. You need to grab some new gear. You need to get the state script into your wardrobe, the interlocking, the M over S. Nobody has a bigger and better selection in Starkville than does Maroon & Co. Use the promo code THUNDER15. That's 15% off any order at regular price. Some exclusions apply. It's available in the store. It's available online. And it's available to you. Before you go to Duty Noble this weekend, make sure that you go to Maroon & Co. All right, back at it here into the rumblings. Got a little bit of some mentions to get through here. Okay. Nathan Kelly asked us, in a world where everyday objects could talk, which one do you think would have the most interesting conversations? This is a very easy question for me.
When I first saw this question, I heard a voiceover come through my head. In a world where everyday objects could talk.
Sounds like a Pixar movie.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So what's your
I don't know. The most interesting would be like it's something that has witnessed like something historic.
Okay. You ready for my answer? The toilet.
Go ahead. Oh, God. You think that's going to be interesting?
Oh, it's going to be interesting.
Let me tell you about the day I had.
Let me tell you what happened to me today. Once again, he comes in here. And this
Brian
time,
freaking Haydad.
Nothing worse
decided
than
he wanted to eat jalapenos today.
Nothing worse than when I hear them say, "Oh, we're going to Mi Hacienda tonight." Great. That's when I know I'm going to have a special day. 2 a.m. I'm going to get woken up.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, my God. Yes, the toilet is the correct answer. Brogan Fairchild. Cole Kublik said he thought State should try to get a backup quarterback in the portal. Do you agree with this, and do you know if State tried to get one? State was interested. They wanted to bring in Jaden Rashada, but it just didn't work out. I get Cole's point. I understand what he's trying to say, and that he feels that basically he's saying that Lebby isn't confident enough in his backups to incorporate the quarterback run the way he wants to. So you needed another guy there to give you another option, and Rashada could have been that guy. But that being said, I mean, I think every team in the country, you know, I hear this all the time. People have especially been talking about with Ole Miss lately, like, you know, if Dart gets hurt, they're in real trouble. Almost every team in the country, if their starting quarterback gets hurt, they're in real trouble. Maybe Texas wouldn't be, right? Maybe. But, I mean, who's if Milrow goes down, Bama's in trouble. If Carson Beck goes down, Georgia's in trouble. So on and so forth. So, yeah, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I think you just got to go out there with what you got, and you got to call your plays and try to win the games. And if Chapin gets hurt, it's got to be, you know, you got to tell Parson or Van Buren or whoever to get out there and take care of it. So,
yeah, but, and I mean, that was one of the situations where you had an opportunity to upgrade your talent, just like you did at wide receiver and running back and things like that. There was a chance there for you to be in really, really, really good shape at quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you take your shot. I don't think you stretch on it. I don't think you go out there and get a guy that's mediocre and risk running off one of the quarterbacks you already have here that are still pretty talented. Mm-hmm. And also, we saw Parson in the spring game. I was impressed with him. I thought he looked good. Mm-hmm. I think he can excel in this offense. I'm not overly concerned about Parson or Van Buren. I think if you have to play either one of them, you're already – in a little bit of trouble, but you can't be in much worse trouble than you were last year, I don't think. So I would just roll with what you got, which they are anyways.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it's got to be. It was going to be tough to get somebody in here anyway, but you just have to call your plays. You can't sit there and say, well, I'm afraid you might get hurt here. You just got to take the risk. Sealing away. Also from Brogan, what is a worse prank than an upper deck? Besides the disconnect upper deck, of course. The upper decker is maybe the worst prank of all time. If that ever happens to you, it's not good. So I'm trying to think, like, the only thing worse would be like actually crapping on someone's bed. It's not even a prank at that point. It's just you know, malicious mischief. It's just a felony at that point.
Man, guys did some incredible stuff back in the day, like stuff that's just like, you look back now, you're just like,
yeah,
that was inhumane.
Yeah. Yeah. Colton Watson, I'm leaving Tuesday night for my wedding in Key West, which will take place on Saturday, and will almost certainly not hear your response to the question. What is the worst marriage advice you have ever received or could ever think of? This one's pretty easy for me, Robbie. The worst marriage advice I ever got was get married.
What?
Terrible advice. What was that person thinking that told me that?
Oh, come on.
Woo!
That's not that bad.
Woo!
Jennifer, make him sleep outside if you're listening to this. She's not listening, but
she's not listening.
Can somebody that works with Jennifer that's listening please tell her to make
possible.
Brian sleep
that outside? That is possible. That could happen. I'm trying to think if I ever got like any really like advice that I look back on and go, what was that person smoking when they sent me that advice? Nothing really stands out. You know?
Yeah, I don't know if I got like really bad marriage. If I did, I just didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah.
I don't even remember most of the marriage advice that I've got, which I don't remember a lot of things of substance. Most things I remember don't really matter.
There you go. The Junction report. Hypothetically speaking, if a runner is on third and no runner is on second or first, could the runner go back to second? They want it and two instead of going home. Like if they were buddies with the second baseman or something. I don't know.
What?
Legally, yes, they can.
I don't understand.
Actually, I'm kidding. They can't. They, of
course, like he's saying if they wanted to go backwards to second
base.
Yeah, you can't
do that. No, you cannot. Once you're on second, you go to third. You cannot go back to second.
Why would they go back to second?
He just said because they're buddies with the second baseman. Like came up with the most ridiculous scenario imaginable. No, you can't go back. What are you thinking? Press box after dark. If you were to cover something other than sports or wrestling, what would you both cover? I would love to cover. I'd like to be a personal tag along reporter for Sydney Sweeney.
I'm sure you would.
Give you the in depth knowledge of her life and her career.
I would love to do like, maybe like some like travel the country with like a rock band or something. Yeah.
So sort of like an Almost Famous kind of thing?
Almost Famous, exactly. Yeah. I would love to do like a profile like every couple months or something on a band.
Would you like a suggestion?
Like, what?
Why don't you reach out to your boy and see if he'd be interested in something like that?
I would love to. Love to follow him around and just write it just for like a couple of months, just follow Hardy around and write about what he goes through on a daily basis.
Jay in Baltimore asked, baseball coaches wearing uniforms is a tradition, but it's still a bit odd. Rank these sports from the least to most silly if the coach had to dress like the players. Soccer, football, basketball, hockey, and volleyball. All of these are hilarious. I would love to see a coach. And I think a hockey coach needs to be dressed like the goalie. Got the full helmet on and everything. You can't even see his mouth. Also,
baseball, they already dress like in baseball.
The idea of a soccer
coach. Or is that basketball?
No, that's what he's saying. He's saying baseball is already happening. So he's asking about basketball will be hilarious. Can you imagine Chris Jansen, like, you know, with the sleeveless jersey and the shorts on? Same with soccer. It's just like.
I mean, the thing about it is, like, I've seen coaches, like, at practice wearing, like, a cutoff shirt and shorts or something.
But so on the sidelines, it doesn't work.
And, like, volleyball, like, you know, if there was a male volleyball coach wearing those short shorts, that would be kind of weird.
Be rough. Be a little weird.
Football walking around the sidelines with shoulder pads on.
Lebby with like a jersey on that just says HC on it. Says head coach.
Like Sylvester Kareem walking around in the Red Cross jersey.
Paul Barrett asks us, inspired by my victory over the debate team, has a professional wrestling ever done a storyline where some clueless schmuck from the crowd accidentally KOs the champ and walks off with the belt? $1 million idea right there. Two of these popped into my mind right away, right? David Arquette and Santino Marella.
Yeah.
Those were both times where they were like, this person has no real chance to win, and they won the championship.
They did.
Yeah. Santino Marella is a little bit different. They legitimately pulled him out of the crowd, even though he was a pro wrestler. Part of the storyline, at least, but
yeah, that was rough too.
It was awful. Also from Paul, if you go to a restaurant and an item is cheaper if you buy the components a la carte, so for example, 6 wings are $4, 12 wings are $9. So in that case, if you order 2 6-piece orders, it would only be $8. Do you pay the extra or do you make it awkward? Make it awkward. I look at that every time I go somewhere. Like,
yeah, if you can save money on it.
And I finagle a dollar out of this. Yeah, I do it every time. Yeah. Anytime I go someplace where they serve wings, I immediately look at the price of 6 versus 12. And if it's cheaper to get 2 6-piece orders, I'm doing that.
Yep.
100%. Let's see here. Winston asks, if Nate Dome is healthy moving forward, would he be better used as a starter or as a bullpen slash closer option? I think that this is one of those, well, what the answer is and what is going to happen are different. Like, the answer is he would be better as a bullpen guy.
Right.
The answer is he's going to start.
I don't know how I feel about this because there's a possibility that if Nate Dome returns to form, you're about to have three starters that could potentially give you 6-plus innings every time they start. Like, and at worst, probably 5 innings. So that, I mean, that's eating up a lot of innings right there. Do you prioritize that or do you prioritize having more options in the bullpen? That would be the question. And right now it seems like more teams prioritize bullpen pitching than they do starting pitching and having more options. I think he would probably be more effective out of the bullpen or more valuable out of the bullpen just because after the problem hasn't been for Mississippi State, you know, trying to make up ground. It's been keeping a lead in ball games. And they've had 6-run leads in the 6th inning. They've had 4 or 5-run leads in the 8th and 9th inning. Not the 9th, but usually 7th or 8th inning. They've had, you know, 4 or 5-run leads and they've lost them. I think having more options back there is more valuable because, you know, a guy like Pico Khan has come out, had a really nice showing, I thought. And if that was the most pitches I think he's thrown in college the other day, 60-something pitches. If you're able to get his pitch count elevated and he feels more comfortable extending games, you have a third starter. I don't think the start has been the issue for Mississippi State. I think it's been the bullpen. So, to me, he's more valuable out of the bullpen. But from what I understand, he has been fairly adamant that he wants to show what he has as a starter, which, you know, Landon Sims did the same thing. And it's not uncommon for a player to say that they would like to do a certain role. So I think he's probably going to be a starter. I think he could help this team much more by being a reliever, but
right. We'll
see how they utilize him.
All right. Also from Winston, who did less homework, the commentators ESPN had last weekend or us in high school? It's close. I wasn't much of a homework guy.
I was not at all.
Let me ask you a question.
We've reached the point now where I've been out of school for 17 years out of high school. I think the statute of limitations are gone at this point, and I'm a much better person these days. I think I copied a lot of people's homework in school.
I need to ask you, is it still homework if you do it at school?
Yeah, technically it still is.
So at my school, we had a thing called break. We had a break between like third and fourth period, and fourth period was college was algebra. And we would all, somebody was like responsible for every day. Somebody does the homework and then we all just copy the rest of it. And that's what we did during our break. Somebody would sit down and they'd put the paper on the table and we just start doing the homework. And then we go to algebra class. That was every day. I did it when it was my turn, so on and so forth. And we just worked together. So, yeah.
I very rarely did my own math homework.
Yeah.
I copied girls' homeworks all the time.
Yeah.
I was a charmer.
I hear you. Sheldon Nations, what is your favorite Ron White joke? I mean, I've seen Ron White's routine like once. The tater tot joke is funny. I don't know.
Tater salad and tater tot. Yeah. So. I was never like a bit. I did like the blue collar comedy tour stuff. Like Ron White was just okay to me. Like I just was never.
He's really funny. But it's like it's not like I've watched every one of his routines to have a favorite joke is what I would say.
I didn't watch enough comedy bits to really like
right
memorize the bits.
Right.
You know, like I had my the Killing Them Softly, Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
I had that on CD and it was hysterical.
I have a favorite Anthony Jeselnik joke because I've listened to his stuff enough.
Yeah.
One about Casey Anthony. But other than that.
Yeah, I'm sure. He's dead, isn't he?
Who? Anthony Jeselnik?
Anthony Jeselnik?
No.
I thought he died.
You're thinking of Greg Giraldo, I think.
That is. That's what I'm thinking of.
We'll make sure he's not dead. No, he's still with us. Thank goodness.
I was thinking of, because he was a roaster, too.
Yeah, he was.
Greg Giraldo was a roaster, and that's what I was thinking of, not Anthony Jeselnik.
All right. Andy, speaking of people with the name A, Andy Atkinson asked us, what features would you want to see in the new college football game? For example, I would like the option as head coach to hire and fire the coordinators. You are the coordinators. What are we talking about here?
Like if you're the head coach?
Yeah, you are the coordinator, though. You call all the plays. You fire yourself? No, that's not. The one thing I would really like to be able to
do. Yeah, like the person that at fault here is you because you're running the controls.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, I would definitely like to be able to negatively recruit a little bit more. I always want that. I wanted it to be like, yeah, why are you considering them? They suck. Type stuff. I would like that. And then
you can. Couldn't you do that on the game?
To a certain degree. But it was more like you would compare how you were better than them. It was not never just like, if you go there, I'm going to kill you for 4 years. I think I've told this story. So I'm playing my dynasty estate, right? And I've got this like 4-star, 5-star quarterback who's between me and Ole Miss. He visits Starkville at the Egg Bowl, where I beat Ole Miss like 38-0, right? I kill him. He commits to Ole Miss the next day. And so I was like, okay, I see how it is. I waited. He didn't start until he was a senior at Ole Miss. Finally, the Egg Bowl rolls around where he's the starting quarterback. I turned the sliders off. And I made it, put it on a rookie. I blitzed him every play.
Stood in the backfield and waited for him to snap it.
Yeah, I mean, I was just like, I blitzed every play. I sacked him, I think, 17 times before he finally came out of the game. And I was just like, that'll learn you. Pick me. How you gonna do that? Also from Andy, this one's going to make you upset when you hear it, if you haven't read it already. When I was at State, I worked stage crew for concerts. I heard about two events that could have happened but were declined. The Rolling Stones at Davis Wade and Raw at the Hump.
Yes.
You can go back in time to pick one. Which one do you choose? As much as I love wrestling, you have to get the Rolling
Stones. It's Rolling Stones.
By the way, people are like, why don't you like Larry Templeton? There you go. There's no question if that's the truth. If Andy is correct, that Larry Templeton put the kibosh on that 100%.
Raw at the Hump.
Would have been incredible.
In the 1990s?
Can you imagine if Austin could come out? I would have freaked. But then Rolling Stones at Davis Wade, that's something that people would remember. That's a historic thing.
Mm.
Anyway.
What are we going to have to do to make things like this happen, Brian? I don't know what else to do.
We're doing the best we can. We're doing all we can.
Can somebody put us in charge, please? Just give us the reins. Let us make decisions.
Zach, if you're listening. Brent Clark.
Zach.
Should being owned by a nation state disqualify a club from being eligible for a league title? I see what you're getting at, and the answer is no. We're not going to let Arsenal win the league champ title this year. I'm sorry. I hate to say this, but it's the truth. Manchester City is just more palatable to me than Arsenal is. So.
I can't stomach it.
There you go. Thank you.
Literally.
I appreciate that. John says, under my dictatorship, players that watch three strikes go by will forfeit their bat. They'll go to the plate empty-handed until they somehow manage to get on base, walk, or hit by a pitch. Would you two submit to my reign of tyranny, or would you stage an uprising? So, under this guy, so what we're saying is, if you strike out looking and you never swung the bat, you don't get a bat your next at bat, and you better hope that you walk or get hit. Otherwise, you never get the bat back.
Or you get relegated.
I'm in for this. I think it'd be hilarious.
After seeing the stuff that Arkansas pitchers had, and they had some pretty good stuff.
Great pitchers, yeah.
Do you concede that some of those pitches were just really good pitches, or do you blame
There are definitely good pitches. There's no question about that. But you can't – at some point, you just have to say, I'm swinging here. And if I miss, I miss. But I've got to take a swing here. I can't leave it in the ump's hands.
Yeah, that many times was my problem. I mean, there's some of those pitches that were either borderline or just really good pitches that you might be seeing something and then it breaks, like a slider starts at your eyeballs and then breaks somewhere, or, you know, a fastball with some movement on it that is just really – it just kind of handcuffs you.
I promise you.
I get that, but it was just so many of them.
You look dumber watching strike three than missing strike three. I just don't. If you swing and miss, it doesn't matter if you're way ahead, way behind, whatever. At least I'm like, well, he tried. I can't stomach watching strike three in a situation like that. Reed Green, rank these Christian Bale movies: The Dark Knight, American Psycho, 310 to Yuma, The Fighter, and American Hustle. I've only seen the top two.
They're all good.
Okay.
You've got to see The Fighter. The Fighter's excellent.
Dark Knight is maybe my second favorite movie of all time. So
the first two are rated correctly.
Okay.
And then I would do The Fighter. American Psycho is just such a genius premise.
Psycho is so funny.
And he's such a great character in that, man.
Yeah.
Then I'd probably do 310 to Yuma, and then American Hustle.
Like Huey Lewis in the news.
Yeah, that's so great, man. He was so good.
You have like a little dog? No, I don't.
I'm gonna take this axe and I'm gonna bury it in your skull.
Try getting a reservation at Dorsha now. All right. Other than actually playing the game for the first time in 11 years, what are you looking forward to the most when NCAA drops on July 19th? First off, do we know that that's the accurate number? That's the correct date? People ask that question, and I'm just like, what do you mean? Like, I'm looking forward to playing the game. What else is there? The smell of the cartridge? What are we talking about here?
When I think it's just like the features and stuff.
That's part of the game.
Well, I think one season I'm going to completely – I'm going to do a Deion Sanders, and I'm going to completely get a brand-new roster. Like,
love it.
Like, I'm going to do what Texas State did with G.J. Kinney, and just like – I'm going to take 50 players. Yeah, 50 players out of the portal.
Whenever I get a new game, I always watch the opening trailer from start to finish without interrupting it.
Uh-huh.
And for this one, it's going to be kind of special.
Yeah.
To see what they do. I will say
that. I mean, it's been over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe.
I know.
But like I can still remember the feeling that I got the night I would go get NCAA. And I mean, now you can just order it. Like, I mean, you can just get it digitally to your device. Mm-hmm. But back in the day when midnight hit and you went to GameStop or you went to Starkville Walmart, you know, we would have to drive to Starkville to get it from Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
Until we got in college, and then we just go down the road. But the feeling that you got getting it in your hands and taking it back and putting it in the, you know, putting the disc in and getting your rosters put together and playing that first game was just like, it was awesome. So I'm looking forward to seeing the presentation of it.
Yeah,
I like the fact that they're doing this thing where different broadcasts are like going on for different games. So it's not just Kirk Herbstreit and Brad Nessler or whatever.
We aren't sure. I think Richard might be on the game.
He won't say anything?
So somebody asked about it. So there was a rumor and he wouldn't confirm it or deny it. I think if he wasn't in it, he would just be like, no, guys, I'm not in, you know. But he was like, I can't say.
Oh. Dude, how crazy would that be if they went that deep with it?
Yeah.
Like they went to like SEC Network Plus broadcasters or guys that like
– I hope
SEC
if that's Network the case, I hope you can pick your announcers, because I would hate for Richard to just constantly be, you know, doing UTEP versus Alabama A&M every week.
But I would have Richard doing Mississippi State every year.
I'd have him doing the Egg Bowl. But I mean, just let Richard have Georgia versus Alabama. Let's
can we get Dan Mullen on there? Like,
oh, can we pair them? Can I get Cross and Mullen? Oh. Well, now we've got something that's an extra feature I would pay for.
Yeah, that's downloadable that content.
$15, I'd pay that $15. Yeah. Richard Cross alongside the coach, Dan Mullen here. And coach, we've got a great one today. Ah, yeah, Richard. These two teams are really not liking each other. Just like I don't like you. Ah, well, you know. All right.
That'd be great.
That'll be incredible. Let's see here. Kyle Wilson is the guy who asked about the best way to cook catfish other than fried. Blackened catfish is my preferred non-fried catfish. I love blackened catfish.
Does pan fried count as fried?
Different.
That would be mine.
Yeah. But again,
that's a different tasting fried.
Check out the Superior Catfish website. I'm sorry, the Superior Catfish Facebook page. They have a lot of great recipes there.
You can get a pan-fried catfish if you don't want to cook it. You can get an excellent pan-fried catfish at Lake Teocada.
Mm-hmm. Get it at Restaurant Tyler.
Restaurant Tyler does as well.
Get that crawfish cream sauce on there? Oh, yeah.
Yes. Go to Restaurant Tyler or go get the Catfish Orleans at Lake Teocada. You will not be disappointed. And it's not as – Superior catfish to me, like – most of the Superior catfish I've eaten is not that greasy anyways,
mm-hmm.
Which the fish itself doesn't really have anything to do with that. But pan fried is just so much – it just seems so much more clean and mm-hmm. still got that crispiness to it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Chris Williams asks, several football – SEC football week one game times have been announced. When do you expect the time to be announced for state season opener against Eastern Kentucky? And what do you expect it to be? If the answer is 11 a.m., what will the attendance be? So, shouldn't Eastern Kentucky be State's SEC Network Plus game?
Do they have a game? Do they have like a game? No, their game before the Egg Bowl is
Missouri.
Missouri. So, yeah.
They have UMass at the beginning of November, but I think you make this your game that's early.
And then you can pick the time.
Game, and you make it a night game. Make it a 6 p.m. kick. That way.
Toledo, Eastern Kentucky, and UMass, I guess, are your choices, right?
Right. And so I would like UMass, you kind of want a day game for that one, right? That's going to be in November. It'll be cold at night. So if it's an 11 a.m. game, nobody's really that mad about it. Toledo, it just kind of is what it is. First week of the season, let's get a 7 o'clock or 6:30 kick, and that way you can have a good night crowd. People are excited. That's the way that I would go. We'll see if that happens. All right, Joseph Dudgeon has some questions. Do you have any context on what happened to make Purcell's team fall apart at the end like they did? It was weird, especially so many transfers after. I mean, they played bad basketball. That's the easiest answer.
I just think the chemistry was kind of disrupted, mm-hmm. and anytime that happens, it's very difficult to get it back. Mm-hmm. I think that has a lot to do with it. Some of that was beyond control, in my opinion. At least by the coaches. But, yeah, it's tough sometimes when that happens and it's hard to get it back. And the transfer thing, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of an epidemic for most everybody at this point. I mean, the transfer portal just is what it is now. Like, I don't think it was as cut and dry as there was one thing that was keeping these players unhappy or wanting to transfer or whatever. So I don't really have an answer to the 100% the issues, but this program's kind of been in a constant state of flux, I guess, for a while now.
Yeah,
they've had a hard time kind of corralling it and getting everybody on the same page, pulling in the right direction.
Then our last question is also from Joseph. Is Tyler Lockhart a lost cause? Was really excited to see him and some other Mississippi kids come here and make themselves legends, but they keep taking the candy from the white van is what it seems like. I would not give up on Tyler Lockhart at all. I understand your frustration. I talked to Robbie about this, I think, off the air. I was just like, I wish one year you could have a year where the kids that you think are going to go to state just commit early and put the class together and go. I get that frustration, but that is a long way to December, a long way.
almost every time this happens with an in-state kid where they commit in the spring of their junior year, it never sticks. We have dozens of kids that we can use for evidence for that. I don't, you know, this guy has a brother on the team and a best friend on the team coming in this year. He's going to be up here during the summer, all season long. Watch where he goes on visits this summer and during the season.
Yeah.
If he's constantly visiting other places, then, yeah, I have a hard time believing he's going to show up here.
Yeah.
But if he stays in Starkville most of the time, that should tell you exactly what you need to know.
What do we say, Robbie?
Follow the visits.
Follow the visits.
And I will say the same thing about Caleb Cunningham at this point. Anybody that is saying he's leaving the state or he's going to go to Ole Miss or whatever, all I have to go by at this point is that he's in Starkville like twice a weekend routinely. He's at almost every baseball game. He's around the coaching staff all the time. He's around Chad Bumpus all the time. It's just hard for me to believe as we sit here on May 14th that Caleb Cunningham ends up somewhere else other than Mississippi State right now because he is constantly in Starkville.
Yeah.
Very rarely have I seen a kid that's constantly around Mississippi State and here that goes somewhere else. One of the few exceptions was Scott Lashley, who ended up here anyway. So that's always been my opinion is wherever they're showing up most of the time is probably where they're going to end up.
Yeah, I agree. All right, tomorrow's show, we got to start previewing this series, Mississippi State versus Missouri. Plus, we'll recap what happens at Diddy Noble on Tuesday night, assuming the rain doesn't cancel this game, fingers crossed. And then we'll get ready for SEC baseball in the final regular season weekend of the year. Looking forward to it. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.